It's the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 300. And I am your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, my brother Matt and I talk about what factors have contributed most to this 1-7 start for the BYU football team, and which factors people are talking about maybe aren't what is contributing to this terrible start. We also try to balance off some of that negativity by talking about the awesome season of the BYU women's volleyball team, Kyle Van Noy becoming maybe a Pro Bowler in the NFL, and we also take a bunch of your Tweetbag questions. This is the Deseret News Rise and Shout Podcast. Find this show and other podcasts at DeseretNews.com/podcasts. Find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Rise and Shout. And listen to us right now. Matt, 300 episodes.
Wow.
What a week to have our 300th episode.
Yeah, we got 300 things to talk about.
Cooey. Not many of them good. But Matt, before we get there, let's play a little game. And I didn't prepare you for this because I wanted you to be unprepared.
Love it.
That's what I like to do.
That's how I roll. Being unprepared is part of my charm.
So I am on a business trip in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
There you go.
I used to live about 30 miles from here.
A little bit longer. I remember that.
And Green Bay, I was at the Dells, the Wisconsin Dells, with my family this week before the business trip. And I was talking to a lifeguard because that's what I do. And I was talking to this guy, and he had a Badgers tattoo on his arm. Okay? Big Badgers tattoo.
Not uncommon, I'm sure.
No. There's a couple things you need to know about the state of Wisconsin. There's at least one bar for every about 8 people. And they love the Packers and the Badgers. Okay,
Plenty of seating at the bars.
No, oddly enough, they're all filled. It's weird. I don't know how that works mathematically.
But they're all very small.
So anyway, I was talking to him about the Badgers. He was talking about how good they were and how excited he is, and he thinks they're going to make the college football playoff, which I agree with. We'll get to that at the end of the show. But then we moved on to the Packers, and he said, I'm done with the Packers. I'm not watching them the rest of the year. And I said, yeah, that's pretty depressing. So Matt, here's the game. Worse right now to be a BYU football fan who thought you're going to have a, you know, maybe 8-9 win season and, you know, just kind of roll along the way we have for the past, you know, 7 seasons or so, or a Packers fan who really thought after the first few games you had a chance to win a Super Bowl, and now you've got, instead of Taysom Hill as your quarterback, you've got some terrible guy named Hundley. What's worse?
So are we going to do a series of these? And Green Bay is just the first one?
We will throughout the show. I'll be throwing them at you randomly. But this is
I think it's worse to be a Packers fan.
I would agree with you. Because there was no... I mean, there were thoughts of potential glory for BYU this year. But for the most part, you know, we thought they'd have an okay season, right?
And the thoughts of glory didn't last very long, right? If you're a Packers fan, you got partway in, you got kind of into the towards the meat of your season before the wheels came off. If you're a BYU fan, that is not the case.
No, you did not. I think some of us even lost hopes of glory against Portland State in our lone victory.
It feels like so long ago.
It does feel like so long ago. Wait a second. Did that happen this year, Portland State?
I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. All right, Matt. So 300 episodes. We started this podcast how many years ago? Is it now 8 years? 7 years?
2000 and... Well, shoot. Was it 2009? No, I think the podcast
started
in 2010.
So we That's are right. now, next month, because we start in November, I believe. I'm going to look it up right now. We are not today going to do a big, huge 300th episode show.
Which we should have done one with the 300, like the movie, themed after that.
Oh, that's an excellent.
I can't believe I just came up with that idea.
That's pretty lame that you waited till now. While we're recording,
great to have around the day after an emergency.
Have you seen that movie?
I'm just going to go ahead and say yes. I'm not even going to do the like funny thing we usually do around some of these movies and say, I don't know if I've seen it or not. I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to tell you flat out I've seen it, and I've seen it more than once.
Good for you, buddy. Our first episode was November 15th, 2010. So
that sounds about right.
We're going to do a big 7th anniversary episode. How's that?
Yeah.
We're going to do a big 7th anniversary episode.
Just things are going to be more exciting by then.
Basketball will have started?
Woo!
So
November 15th, huh? Wow, it's a big deal.
November 15th. So that'll be episode, that's in 3 weeks. That'll be episode 303, so stay tuned. And Matt, I'm not going to be doing a halftime show on Saturday. Are you doing a halftime show on Saturday against San Jose State?
Is there still going to be a game?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I'm good.
You're going to do it?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so there will be no halftime show, but we'll be back. We'll be back after that, probably for the Fresno State game, right?
Well, you may remember I'm going to be out of town that Saturday, so I don't know if I'll be able to participate in the halftime show. I have some other commitments.
No, I'm unaware of that. Hmm. I'm unaware of that. You have something else going on that weekend?
I do.
What do you have going on? Do you want to tell the listeners what's happening that Saturday?
We've talked about this before, but here it is. Sunday, November 5th, I'll be running in the New York City Marathon. I've been raising money for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We're up to $3,650. So we've surpassed the goal. But that is marathon weekend. So that Saturday, I've got some events and other things I've committed to be at. My wife and I are also going to try and make a little weekend out of it in New York. So won't be available to do the halftime show. But we'll be getting myself ready to run 26.2 miles across all five boroughs, baby.
Seems like your priority's a little out of whack, but okay, whatever.
But I will go ahead and throw out, I do appreciate the support I've had from listeners on the fundraiser. That's been really cool to see. The fundraiser is open till October 31st. If you Google CrowdRise Mangum New York City, you'll find it, but there's also going to be a link in the show notes. So one more week.
Very cool, my friend. Very cool. Well, we'll wish you luck again that week before. We will. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. Little podcast send off. All right, Matt. Let's move on and go to the CougarFan.com. Cougars in the news.
Cougars in the news.
Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, BYU women's volleyball team. They win again. Matt, they haven't lost. They beat this past week. They beat Pepperdine and Loyola Marymount. They haven't lost since dropping a 5-setter to Baylor on September the 9th.
They are on fire.
21-1. And of course, they have not yet lost in conference. 21-1, Matt. Pretty darn amazing. So next up for them, I was going to say that, and I moved off the screen here.
Pepperdine.
Next up for them, yes. No, what did you say, Pepperdine? No,
yeah, I'm wrong.
No, you're wrong. Sorry, I didn't update the notes. You're reading my notes, which are wrong. San Diego.
The notes are from last week because you have the record is old on there too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to just keep my mouth shut.
San Diego and Pacific. If you're in Provo and want to see this Friday night, the 27th, and then the next Thursday, I guess they have the Pacific game, and then St. Mary's that next Saturday. So three straight home games coming up at the Smith Fieldhouse. If you want to go see some great volleyball, go do it. If you're in Provo, go see these ladies play. I would.
I will say this. Some of my coolest memories as a student from BYU are volleyball games. Always a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. Men and women's both. Oh, it was so fun.
Our students really bring it, and they have for years.
Yeah. So go check that out. Matt, let's do some Cougars in the pros with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Sit down, Goodell.
You sit down, you out there in the crowd. By the way, Goodell, it just keeps getting worse, right?
Oh, jeez.
Is he just like, I mean,
can't help himself.
Can he just like not do it well? Can he just not do anything well at this point?
No. He's a loser.
At least he stopped talking about extending. Oh boy.
That's what losers do, Adam. They lose.
They keep losing. Yeah, don't bring up losing. All right. So Matt,
we'll get to that later.
So Matt, Daniel Sorensen had a good game.
Not a shocker.
And has had a very nice season for the Chiefs on a defense that's not great, and obviously he's playing partially because of injuries. But he's having a nice season. But let's talk about Kyle Van Noy.
Kyle Van Noy. Oh, this is like the best story in BYU sports, right? Well, that's not true. Women's volleyball might actually be the best story.
I think women's volleyball
BYU
is the
sports
best
sports right now. But this is the best story of professional BYU players, I think.
Oh, right heck now. Yeah. Heck yeah. Van Noy, in an effort in which the Patriots defense finally kind of showed up and played well, Van Noy was right at the tip of that and had one of the best highlight plays of the year for the Patriots defense on a fourth and goal, running down the jet sweep and basically just taking the guy down. If he doesn't tackle him, it's a touchdown. And the game changes substantially. Unlike the Patriots, the Falcons weren't able to come back and have a big comeback in the second half.
Hey, now.
So, Matt, Kyle Van Noy, Pro Bowler?
Maybe.
He leads the team in sacks, tackles for loss, second on the team in tackles. I don't know if the Patriots' defense hasn't been great, but assuming it's decent the rest of the season, I mean, they'll send a couple of Pro Bowlers. I mean, right now it's got to be, I feel like it's him, Malcolm Butler, and maybe McCourty are the three that are playing the best, so it's a good chance. Anything else on Van Noy? KVN.
I did see, if you saw the clips from Van Noy's Valor, his foundation, did a dinner the other night where several of the players were serving food. And there's a clip of Kraft there talking about how proud he is of the players and the stuff that they're doing. And then the two of them stand together. It's just pretty cool to see Van Noy out there kind of living the dream on all sides of it, right? You know, he's crushing it on the field, having an opportunity to help people out on a cause that's important to him. It's just cool to see it when you go back to the early days of Kyle Van Noy coming to BYU and how far he's come. I mean, it's exciting. He's loving it right now. Yeah. Loving it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing right now. And I think there is a really good, it's a great story because he started off, his career did not start great, right? It has not been, with the Lions, it was kind of a little bit of a disaster. And I kind of feel like...
And he was a bust. People thought he was a bust.
He was a bust. He had injuries, some ineffective play, and benched. And basically, and then the Patriots pluck him out of the air for a low-round draft choice. And
from the Detroit Lions scrap heap.
Yes, from the Detroit Lions scrap heap to maybe the third or fourth best defensive player on the Patriots. And vital to this year, which has been Patriots are 5-2 and still, still a threat to win another Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the money's probably on a couple other teams at this point, but anyway. All right, Matt, let's talk about other stuff. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this on the volleyball team, was that Ronnie Jones-Perry was named the National Player of the Week.
Oh, there you go.
Earlier today, I believe, is when that came out. So congratulations to her. Well job. Well job. Well job. That's not even a thing. All right. Good job. Good job. Matt, we're going to not talk about men's basketball much, but we are going to talk about this one question from Johnny Ashton. And if you want to join the tweet bag,
Tweet back.
You can do so on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout, on Twitter at @BYU_riseandshout. That's not two @s, even though I said two @s. It's just one @. Or
if you put in two @s, you're not going to find much of anything.
No, you're not. Or like Johnny did, you can do it with old-fashioned snail mail. That's riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. One word, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Matt, let's talk about Johnny's question here. 300th episode of Rise and Shout. 3 exclamation points. Thank you, Johnny, for the exclamation points. Your episodes have been the highlight of a BYU football team season so far this year. The bar is not set very high, Johnny, but we appreciate it regardless. He's still depressed after last week's game. He was there. You and I almost went to that game.
That was the plan in August. That was the plan. It kind of
dodged a bullet.
Fell apart on us. Fell apart on us early.
Yeah, that's all right. So anyway, his son called him out as not a true BYU football fan when he decided to leave the game with 5 minutes still remaining. However, after that last pick by Mangum, he says he figured sitting through the final minutes of the game was not worth getting home at 3 in the morning. We got home at 2 a.m. by leaving a little early. He's still a true BYU fan.
Yeah, I'm not ready to listen. We've talked about this. I'm not ready to call him, but you're not a true fan because you didn't do this or didn't do that.
Not this year. Usually, I'm not a leave the game early kind of guy. But so he says, moving.
I'm actually never a leave the game early kind of guy. But I don't think what he did. I don't think leaving the game early makes you not a true fan.
Yeah. So Johnny, tell your son you're still a true fan. Say. The boys from the Rise and Shout podcast. You're still a true fan, Johnny.
Well, and the game was only technically not over.
There's no mercy rule in the FBS. So he says, moving on from football to basketball, what are the chances? Ooh. Zero to Jimmer. And we've talked about this. I think it's zero to Ainge. Is it zero to Jimmer or zero to Ainge?
Our scale. Man, see, we're going to have to fight this again, huh?
Because you think it's Jimmer.
I do think it's Jimmer.
All right, we'll stick with Jimmer because you won last time. Because I don't think it should be zero to Demmer, especially not now. I think it should be zero to McMahon.
Zing. But I don't necessarily disagree on the zero to McMahon. But you got to remember, this is about the players as a college player here, right? So
McMahon might be the best college quarterback ever.
Oh, no, I'm talking about basketball again. Basketball. I can't use that. I don't want to use that argument in football. all I've got for Detmer is the Heisman Trophy. I mean, McMahon's stats are unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, so but I think you're splitting hairs.
Zero to Jimmer. We'll do zero to Jimmer, John.
All right, zero to Jimmer. I win again.
Chances from zero to Jimmer that we actually beat Utah and Utah State in basketball this season. Matt? What do you got?
I'm not sure where to go there. So I'm going with Jimmer. I got to be excited about something. I got to be excited about something.
You think there's lock that we beat?
Let's do this.
That seems a little much. Well, let's go to KenPom.
I'm overdoing it, aren't I?
We're 72nd in preseason rankings, okay? Utah is 58th, and Utah State is 123rd. So I think it's like Michael Smith that we beat Utah State. I think it's more like Nick Emery that we beat Utah.
Oh, so you're using two different players for each option, huh?
Yeah.
See, I didn't realize
you're trying to do the overall?
Yeah.
Okay, overall, I'll do Jeff Chapman. That we beat them both.
That's probably about right.
I think there's a good chance, but I don't think it's Jimmer.
I mean, what were the numbers you threw out for you? What was it for Utah State?
State's 123rd.
Yeah, I'm not as worried about that one. The Utah game, though, that's...
I think we beat Utah State. I think Utah's good. I mean, they should be good, but not great, right? Kind of middle of the Pac-12 type of team. So, I don't know. this season really depends on me, for me, on one huge factor, seeing if we're a team that's in the hundreds or a team that's top 100. Do you know what that factor is?
What's that?
Nick Emery.
Yeah, that's probably...
If he takes a leap from those last 2 years, then I think this could be a team that makes noise and has a few upsets. If he doesn't, I think we'll be fine, but I don't think... I don't know that we beat, you know, teams like Utah. Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
So, Matt, we got to talk about football.
We've avoided it long enough.
We've avoided it long enough. Justin Sweeney.
Sweeney.
That's at Justin D. Sweeney on Twitter says, he's quoting scripture here. Oh, God, where art thou? Where art thou? And where is the pavilion that covereth thy hiding place? Is this sacrilegious for us to quote this?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll stop with that. Hashtag tweet back. So Matt, there has been some player news that we have to talk about. I don't really want to talk about it, but we got to talk about it. Okay. Francis Bernard, who apparently had not been on the team for weeks, who had been released, and another player who also wasn't on the team, were involved in a DUI. Any comments?
Where to start?
I think it's safe to say that Francis Bernard will never be suiting up for the Cougars.
Well, no, he had requested a release. So by the time this whole thing, you know, goes down, he's not on the team anymore. You know, and Satake, true to his policy, granted him a full release and said, he told him he was free to go anywhere he wanted, as soon as he wanted. Which is the way that all those transfers, I mean, I'm just ignoring the whole, the issue this last weekend, but that's the way releases should work, right?
Yes.
And in this case, I think it's pretty clear that, it wasn't working out for him.
Nope. And, I mean, at this point, it's a story that's being used to smear the program a little bit that I find a little distasteful by the people that are doing that. I mean, he wasn't a BYU student or player when all of this went down. And if you listened to that audio from last December, this is a dude with some issues. And unfortunately, those issues don't seem to have changed much. Matt, the other one is not as serious, but potentially way more damaging to this year's team, which is that running back Ula Tulatau, or Tulatau, I've never figured out how to say his last name, apparently got a ticket for having marijuana in a Frisbee. I can't even make this stuff up anymore, Matt. Like if I had told you at the beginning of the year that one of our players was going to get busted for pot while holding it in a Frisbee, because as according to the story, he couldn't find a baggie. So, got to use what's there.
You can't make this stuff up.
I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore.
Throw the Frisbee.
It's our 300th. It's our 300th episode, Matt, and I'm talking about pot and a Frisbee. That's what we're talking about on our 300th episode.
I'm surprised, because I know they were probably throwing that Frisbee around. I'm surprised he was able to catch it, because it was probably pretty high.
I thought you were going to make some joke about fumbling the Frisbee, but...
Probably really had to reach, because that Frisbee was pretty high.
You don't have to make the joke twice.
Oh, I'm making it probably five times.
Heard it and already.
There's more where this...
Yeah, you can make more jokes later on, just not... I don't have to say it twice. We're not five. So, Matt, anyway, we don't know yet how this will affect Tulatau's status for the San Jose State game and the season beyond. Let me play a couple scenarios for you. Tulatau misses the San Jose State game. Does it change your prediction for that game?
No.
Mine either. Tulatau misses the rest of the season. Does it change how you feel about the rest of the season?
Nope.
Me either. Tulatau leaves the program. Does it change how you feel about the future of the running back position at BYU?
No.
Okay. So
what about you on the last one?
No. Let me do something that people are not going to like, okay? People aren't going to like this, okay? We have been talking about Tolutau being the guy we got to hand the ball to, right?
Yep.
We got to hand the ball to Tolutau. He's the best guy back there. And obviously there's been lots of injuries with the running backs, okay? You know, so we don't have Riley Burt. Wait a second. We do have Riley Burt, but apparently the coaching staff is allergic to putting him into the game.
You have him, you don't have him, you have him, you don't have him. Yeah. Who knows anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. But let's look at, I mean, obviously Canada's hurt, Fanua's hurt, Trey Dye is hurt, right? There's been a lot of injuries, okay? Tolutau has the most carries with 72. 308 yards, he's the leading rusher. 4.2 yards per carry. He's long as 18. He's got a couple of touchdowns. Matt, I don't know that it makes that much of a difference. I don't know that he's shown the skill and everything that everybody thought. Now, maybe it's the injuries that have slowed him down. Are you going to make a joke here now? I'm waiting for
nope.
a joke.
Okay. No, I was just going to let you finish.
All right.
I'm trying to come up with the next one. I'm waiting for the opening.
Maybe he could be special. And you could say, oh, it's the offensive line, it's whatever else, and that may be true. And you know, if you look at Luke Staley's stats in his first couple of years, they weren't anything special. And unlike Brady Papenga, I don't think that's because he was a terrible running back. I think it's because you know the situation was bad, and right now the situation is bad. But I've not seen anything where I say Tolutau has. I mean, he's got to be. I mean. He is the future of the program, or a big piece of it. Matt, do you agree or disagree?
Do I agree that he is the future of the program?
I'm saying he's not.
No, I think that what we've seen so far this year, I don't see a player that is the future of the running back position at BYU yet. Do I think he has the potential to maybe get there? Perhaps, but as you've already noted, I mean, there are some things. He's proved to be a strong bruising back. He's had some trouble with possession at some key moments. He's not the game changer that we thought he was. He's not Harvey Unga.
No.
At least
no.
He doesn't look like that right now, right?
Not yet.
And so does this knock the whole program off kilter if something happens here and he doesn't come back? I don't know if I was convinced that he would be the starter next year anyway. Yeah, you know, nope. He's got a ways to go before he is the player that everybody was expecting him to be.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll get to the running back depth here in a minute because we got another question. So, Matt, anything left to say about East Carolina game?
It was awful.
It was just terrible.
It's hard to watch.
And we got beat by a team. And couldn't move the ball against a team that we've all seen the stats from Rebel or BYU Statsman or whoever else. We've done this, and this was a terrible defense. And we ended up getting 400 yards at the end, but we didn't do anything till the fourth quarter. You know, and that's not good. And
does that even count? I mean,
it's junk time. No, it doesn't give me any faith except for. The only thing I want to say about that performance at the end is I guess I do want to say two things. Number one, if Mangum's going to be the quarterback the rest of the year, you just got to open it up and let him throw it. That's the only hope we've got. The running game is not working. Just step back and let him be a gunslinger for a couple of games.
The pocket around, roll him out. I know he's got the mobility issues right now with the ankle, but that's also going to help your offensive line that is struggling. You know, and one of the things, I will say this, here's one thing I did notice in the East Carolina game. We talked a couple weeks ago about some of the stupid penalties that we've seen out of the offensive linemen and the ineligible receiver downfield penalties, right? But if you were watching in the game against East Carolina, we had one or two of those called against a tackle that were suiting up as a tight end. Remember we talked about this in the preseason? We're like, is this really a story? Or is this just one of these things we're just talking about because it's fall ball? You know what I mean? But they're lining this guy up. He's a tackle. but they're putting the tight end number on him and lining him out there for blocking purposes, right?
Yep.
But he's the one sustaining that penalty. So I think that, anyway, putting him in a weird spot or whatever it is, but I think if you can move the pocket around or try and do something to play to Mangum's strengths, the big issue I think we saw at this in East Carolina is that we're easy to figure out and we don't adjust.
Oh, good golly, we're terrible at adjusting. The other thing I'll say about the Carolina game is that fourth down play call, when we still had a shot, a long shot, right? But we still had a shot, fourth and goal, and you throw a freaking screen, bubble screen pass to Trenneman or whatever you want to call it.
I can't with the screens.
Throw the ball into the end zone. Like, there is no... Detmer, I'm sorry, I know I've been harping on him a lot, but we're going to continue it. He is the worst play caller I've ever watched in my life on a regular basis. Now, there are probably worse ones because I don't watch everybody on a regular basis, right? But any complaints that you ever had about Mr. Dr. Robert and I, would you take him back tomorrow?
I wouldn't necessarily take him back, but I don't know that I feel that I like Detmer any better, right?
What?
At the end of the day, listen, I still feel like Anai was extremely predictable, but his offenses moved the ball and scored points.
Yes. I think...
So it's difficult when you compare the current offensive situation to Anai-run offenses. It's difficult to look at it and say... Oh, well, at least this is better than an eye, because I can't say that.
No, it's definitely not better than an eye. I mean, it's 1,000 times worse than an eye.
An eye gets across the 50 against LSU.
Yeah,
I don't know that we beat LSU, but I think an eye gets across the 50.
I think an eye figures out a way to have this be a halfway decent offense. Now, we may not have the players and we may not have the quarterback for this to be a great offense. Because if you look at the great offenses BYU has had, we've never had a great offense without a great quarterback, right? I don't know that anybody does unless you have a pro-level offensive line like an Alabama and an elite stable of running backs. Then I guess you probably can have an elite offense without an elite quarterback. But BYU never has, right? I mean, it's always been about quarterback play. And for most college teams on their offense, it's about the quarterback play. And I don't know that we have a great quarterback. But Anai would have figured out a way to do it. And yeah, he would have frustrated you, like you said, with some pretty obvious calls. But that was also a guy that made adjustments. We would see different things in the second half.
Yep.
That third quarter against East Carolina, it was like it was the same play sheet from the first quarter.
It's almost like you wanted to hold up, like, are we just running a script?
Yeah, we got to do this again. So anyway...
did I tell you about a couple weeks ago I was introduced to speak at a work event here in Baton Rouge? Okay, so the room's full of LSU fans. So they introduced me to speak, and I'll share this quickly. I'm introduced to speak. Says, okay, now Matt's going to come up and say a few words. So as I stand up, the guy then leans in the microphone and says, well, hold on. We just got to check the floor here between where Matt's coming from and the podium. We just got to make sure there's not a 50-yard line, because if there is, he won't be able to cross it.
No, you didn't even tell me that story.
Yeah, that one stung a little bit.
Did you get up and ask them about the Mississippi State game?
No, I believe that I did use the word Troy in my speech, though. But I got a lot of the whatever, dude. You still didn't cross the 50.
Okay, so Clark Early, who's
so basically... you're worse than Troy. I mean, it's a hard fight. Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
There's not much you can do when you're 1-7. Clark Early, who basically has like 8 tweetback questions today, at CL Early 33. Will Austin Kafensis throw a pass this year? I hope he doesn't see another down.
Oh man, I hope not. Please stop it with the Kafensis.
He has no idea how to read the option. He just doesn't like. The one time he should have kept it, he handed off the dual towel when there was nobody, and he could have walked in the end zone.
No, he's clearly made the decision before the ball is snapped what he's going to do with it. He's already made whatever read he's going to make. And, you know, when you're playing for the beat diggers, you can get away with that stuff. But apparently against East Carolina, that's just not going to fly.
against the worst, one of the worst defenses in America. San Jose State, Matt, they're terrible. They're worse than us. We're favored by 13. Okay, we'll get to our predictions here in a second. But Clark has the important question, Matt. Is there any way a real love live, I think he means, Spartan could beat a real live Cougar? I think so.
I think that's something they actually did back in the day.
I mean, because they'd have a spear and a shield, right?
Yeah.
Spartan would. I think it's a good match, but I think, yes, it is possible.
I think the spear gives you an opportunity to strike from a distance.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you've been training with that thing since you were a child.
So Matt, he has an even better question. What about a Spartan versus a Bearcat? And what is a Bearcat? Hashtag go Cougs.
Well,
it's when a bear and a cat
mate. When a bear and a cat love each other very much. Yes.
For those of you that are new listeners, this is a really old running joke on the podcast.
The binturong.
The binturong, which I've taken a picture with the binturong. You remember that?
I do remember that. It's one of the highlights of your life.
Yeah, I drove out to the zoo.
Just to take a
picture with a bear cat. The Minnesota Zoo, which is like 45 minutes from my house. But we took the kids too and saw some other things. But the whole thing is there's still controversy as to whether I said originally that's what happens when a bear and a cat mated. Everyone else heard made it.
Yeah. Everyone on the planet heard one thing.
We don't have that many
listeners. And you're still fighting it.
Everyone on the planet doesn't listen to this podcast. That's a ridiculous statement.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
All right, Matt. So the Spartans of San Jose State, BYU's favored by 13. We are not previewing the Spartans. Again, I'm not doing that. We'll preview Fresno State next week, okay? We'll preview Fresno State.
Okay.
But I'm not previewing terrible teams and talking about who their best players are. We're BYU. We should win this game.
All right. I think we said the same thing a week ago.
We said this exact same thing, and I'm sticking to the script. Okay? I'm Ty Detmer. I'm sticking to the script.
No adjustments here.
No adjustments possible.
Look elsewhere for your adjustments.
That's right. And we're going to – I know there's going to be some of you that are offended by us making fun of Detmer throughout the entire podcast. Deal with it. All right? This is what bitter sounds like when you're 1-7 and your offense is the worst in all of the land.
Listen, let's just have an adult conversation about it, right? I mean, college football – coaching in college football is a tough business.
It's a tough deal. Tough
and
job.
You have to be successful. I mean, there's people are paid a lot of money to do this stuff, and it is not going well for him right now.
No.
I'm not out here writing letters to the administration telling people to fire him. I have my own opinion on what I think they're going to do.
We'll get
but
to that.
I'm not out here lobbying for it. I'm not out here. I don't think Ty's a bad guy. I think this is not going well for him, clearly. I don't wish him any ill will. I'd love for him to be successful.
Me too.
But this season is just not there, right? So if we just kind of talk about it objectively for a minute, that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, that is just what it – I mean, no, I could not do a better job than Ty Detmer. But I am also –
No,
would
I'd
never
be a
be
mess.
Off of the job.
Listen, I can do a pretty good job with a video game, right? Where you can get away with calling three different plays. You set it on
you're
easy.
You're a really good video national game championships offensive coordinator. All
the time. Oh, I'm unbelievable. Yeah, I'm unbelievable.
Top shelf.
But that's not real life. I mean, what he's doing is real life, and it's hard, and you got a lot of moving pieces. And I understand that.
And it's not going well. So Matt, back to the game. BYU's favored by 13. Are you taking BYU at 13?
Nope.
I am. Mr. Optimistic over here. All right. So what's your prediction, buddy? Win or lose? Win or lose?
Loss. Cougars.
Come on. At home against San Jose State.
Lose by 10.
Lose by 10? You're crazy. San Jose State's terrible. They're worse than East Carolina. And it's
okay.
At home.
Guess who else is worse than East Carolina?
BYU.
Yeah, I think we've just got to sit back and look at really the reality of the situation we're in. I mean, we don't know what the disposition of
but Kalani said we're gonna open it up.
We'll see what it looks like. We've seen at least some minor change to the offense, right? But if we continue to do things like we drive down, we finally put together a solid drive, and then we put in Austin Kafensis once we get inside the five to try and run this wildcat thing to take it across the goal line, when you're at the end of a drive where you're finally showing some semblance of coherence as an offensive unit, I just don't see us making the leap to rational decision making in a week.
I do. I don't think Kafensis will get in the game. I think Satake. I said this last week, though. I think Satake is going to dictate some things to Detmer this week.
I feel like if that conversation was going to happen, it already happened.
I don't think so, because I believe, and I've worried about this the whole year, that what would happen was they would wait until East Carolina and blame injuries in the schedule, and basically say, listen, we've had a tough run. It's a tough schedule. Utah State, we would have won that game, but gosh, Hodge got hurt. And then Detmer would have a great game against East Carolina, which did not happen. And then all of a sudden people would start talking about how he's figured it out, right? And I think all of us were waiting. I felt this way. I think you felt this way last week. Like, we're going to destroy East Carolina, or at least beat them soundly, because, you know, we're not as bad as the numbers say we are. Well, it turns out we are as bad as the numbers say we are, right?
And it's not just the offense.
No. The defense had a terrible game, and has some issues and has had injuries too. We'll get to that in a second. But anyway, Matt, I think we win by two touchdowns, 28-14.
I wouldn't be shocked if that happens either. I don't know that I'm going to be shocked with any outcome in this game.
So do we, according to you, do we win another game? Just UMass. Are we a two-win team?
We beat UMass.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we get to, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I think we get to four wins. Because things will break for us. We've had a lot of bad breaks. We'll have some good breaks.
I just don't see when they're going to happen, and I think my
it won't be Fresno, but none of the other teams on the schedule are good. Fresno turns out it's going to be good, and that's going to be embarrassing probably on the road.
Yeah, Fresno's a pretty good football team. That one's going to be tough. And UNLV. I mean, UNLV is not
any good.
Yeah, they're good enough to beat us, though.
Well, I'm not saying they're not good enough to beat us. Everybody on this schedule is good enough to beat us,
except for maybe UMass. I don't know about UMass. If we've got to be able to beat UMass.
I would hope so. But UNLV is not good. They're 2-5. I mean, it's not like – I mean, I get it. We're not good. I'm not making that argument, right? We're 1-7 and currently – and the Massey rating's below UNLV. So we're not going to be favored in that game most likely unless we have, you know, beat San Jose State soundly and have a good showing against Fresno, right? But I'm just saying, like, I think we win three more games. I think we win this one. I think we beat – UNLV, and I think we beat UMass.
I think there's, you know, this is the end of this season is going to be really tough. I think it's hard to maintain momentum and keep people in the right state of mind as a coach trying to keep your players together at this point in a season like this. And then you've got some off the field things that really start to make it feel like the wheels are coming off.
But UMass and UNLV are going through similar things. That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like some of this can even out because it's not as if we're playing bad teams that are maybe having okay years. I mean, UMass is 1-6. UNLV is 2-5. Hawaii is different to me just because I think playing in Hawaii is going to be a bad deal for us.
Yeah, that one's tough. That one's tough. Well, I'm not. Anyway. I'm really not worried about UMass at all.
Yeah. And by the way, Hawaii is not any good either. But neither are we. So, all right, Matt, let's talk about the rest of the season. I'm going to skip that question. Sorry, Clark. We're going to play a game here. Buy or sell reasons for the terrible season. Okay? So I'm going to give you reasons, and you're going to buy or sell them as a major factor in the season. Okay? All of these could be factors, but are they a major factor? Like a significant portion? Okay?
All right, let's do it.
Start with the first one, injuries. Buy or sell that as a major factor for this terrible year?
Oh, I'm buying it.
I am too. I'm buying it.
I'm buying that all day long.
That
has been a huge problem.
I don't know that it's the biggest problem, but it's. I would say it's top three.
Well, look, I mean, anytime you get down to a point where you're playing your third and fourth string quarterback because you've got your two guys hurt, you know, both of which have looked like winners, right? I mean, Tanner has struggled a lot this year, but, you know, and he's had flashes in his career where you're like, oh, yeah, this is a guy that you can win games with a guy like Tanner under center. And even for the short period of time we saw Bo Hodge, I mean, that's a guy that looked like an offense could get behind and really move the football, right? Not a lot of teams can lose two quarterbacks like that and, you know, and go out and live up to expectations.
So I totally agree with you. I don't even think quarterback's been our worst problem with the injuries. Besides the Utah State game, where we had Detmer play, we had, you know, our top two guys playing all year. Besides that stretch in the Utah State game, obviously, you know, Tanner's been hampered by that ankle injury.
Yeah, he's not 100%. Right.
But look at this. We were supposed to have this great two tight end system that has never happened, okay? Because Moroni has been hurt, okay? Every single one of our running backs has missed time. Every contributing running back has missed time, and I'm not counting Confensus. You know, everybody has missed time. Tula Tau was slowed at the beginning. Obviously, Squally, you know, Fanua. I mean, everybody's missed time. That's not good. The one place we have not had a lot of injuries is offensive line, by the way. But then on the defensive side, now with Troy Warner hurt, I mean, we've had linebackers hurt. I mean, it's been everywhere. So I'm with you. All right, Matt, now is a subsection I'm going to call coaching, but I'm going to have a bunch of different ones on coaching. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Buy or sell. As a major factor, Ty Detmer's ineffectiveness as an offensive coordinator. Buy or sell?
I'm buying it. I mean,
he
has not been effective this year.
Okay. We've talked enough about that. Next one. Kalani Sitake, buy or sell Kalani Sitake as not being a good head coach?
I'm selling that. I'm not there yet for Sitake. I think that Sitake's he's still got some room to prove some things here.
Matt? I will say this, if they finish at 2-11, percent chance he gets fired.
You know, we've talked about this before, and there's no way to talk about the answer to that question without at least addressing the fact that there's a couple of off-the-field issues, right, that are going on. Now, one of which, you know, the guy was not a member of the team anymore. I don't know that we're out of the woods on those yet. You know,
but forget about that. Forget about the off the field
stuff. But my point is this. Croton wasn't fired for being a mediocre football coach, and I think that Sitake is not going to get fired for a single 2-win season if that is all that there is to talk about.
I would have agreed with you if we were talking about a 5-win season. Okay, we are not talking about a 5-win season. In this hypothetical, we're talking about a 2-win season. The only reason I think you might be wrong is that there is no precedence for this. None. There's no precedence for this in BYU modern football history if we finish that bad. I just don't know what to do with it.
But if you're homo, right, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what are your options?
No, you don't. You don't. Because... there are options, right? You can't be hand. I don't. If you're homo and that's the issue, then I think homo's in the wrong job. You've got to be able to go out and find a better option. There are options out there. I'm not saying they should fire Sitake, by the way. I'm not actually even for that. I'm just saying I think there's a decent chance if they finish 2-11 that he gets fired because 2-11 is an atrocious season, right? And you worry about a lot of things. But we'll get to that here in a second because there's a good question about that. Matt, buy or sell the training staff, we should have put this with injuries, as a major factor.
I'm buying injuries, but I'm selling training staff.
I'm selling training staff. I, Papinga and all his garbage aside, and can I say can I attack Papinga on this show?
Listen, well, if you choose to, the only reason this is on the list, though, is because of all of the exchanges over the weekend and I guess earlier in the season between Papinga and a whole variety of people on this topic, right? Do I think we have the best training staff in the country? No, probably not.
I just don't know how to judge that as an outsider. I don't know how to judge training staff, right? And, you know, I find it extremely distasteful that Papinga is trashing this training staff and also trashing Satake for hiring his buddies and then saying, and you should hire my buddy.
Well, and, you know, you look at it and you think, come on. I don't really have a good way to judge this as an outsider based on your experience or whatever. So you listen to Papinga and you think, well, this is a guy who kind of should know what he's doing and know what he's talking about. He's been around. He's seen some things.
Sure.
But then you see other guys that have been to the league and played at other programs, you know, come in and disagree with what Papinga is saying, right? And defend the guy. So I think at that point, you just got to say, you know what? This is what it is. I mean, we're all just reaching for reasons the team is struggling.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that this is not one of the big, huge banner problems.
No, I don't think this is in the top 10 of problems. But we're running low on time, Matt, so I'm gonna move this along and do a couple of tweet bag questions here. You know, Jeff is asking us about what the coaching staff will look like in 2018. I'm gonna punt on that one. We'll get back to that on another day.
I'm gonna run a screen and then punt.
Yeah, there you go. And Alan, same thing on his about Kalani's future. We just talked about that. You know, and Tim points this out, and you and I totally agree. This is coaching. It's not players playing well is an issue, but is it in buy or sell players playing well?
No, this sits with the coaches for
me. This is on the coaching. I'm with you 100%. Matt, the last one I'm going to do is this one. Buy or sell, Bronco left the cupboard bare.
Sell.
I just don't understand this one. It's like, you know, Bronco cannot win with the anti-Bronco crowd. He can't win. Like, he won. He never had a year like this. Not even close. And people talk about, oh, he always had losses like East Carolina. No, he didn't. He had two really bad losses while he was here. And I believe, if I'm remembering right, it's San Jose State and the Virginia loss, which was a bizarre game.
Did he ever lose seven games?
In a row? Or at all?
In a row.
Or at all.
Right? I'm selling that. We can't keep blaming this stuff on Bronco. Bronco won a lot of football games when he was here. I know that people didn't love him. I know that his style was a little bit different. And I know anecdotally, from what I understand, his recruiting approach kind of bothered some folks. But at the end of the day, I mean, he won some football games.
Yep.
This never happened.
No, he never lost seven games. And let's look at this. The only coach to lose seven games in a season since Lavelle Edwards started. Okay, Lavelle never did that. Now, granted, it didn't play as many games, but the only two coaches to have done that now are Croton and Kalani, right? Croton did it twice.
When it happened to Croton, it wasn't because Lavelle left the cupboard bare.
Here's the thing: there may be some of that, right, where maybe the talent wasn't as good as it could have been. But to me, that's not a top three reason to being 1-7. We're 1-7 because of a lot of other things. Not that.
Right.
Not that. So put this, Gary Payne, that's at FastBreakGP on Twitter, says, put this historic season in a context for us. Okay. So we're going to answer this two ways, Matt. The first one is, is this the worst season in modern BYU history? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yes, it is.
There's no – the next season, as far as Sports Reference, they've got a nice season ranking is concerned. The next modern one is 2002 when we were 5-7. And it's not statistically very close to this year as far as their rating is concerned. This is the worst BYU season of our lifetimes. Okay? So that's one context. But let's get to the second part of Gary's question, which is, what's the overall impact to this, Matt? And we probably need more time than the last couple minutes that we have left in the show, but do you think that this is a train coming off the tracks where we're going to feel this for 3 or 4 seasons?
There are signals here to me that tell us that we're staring down the barrel of several seasons of mediocre football.
Okay, mediocre football is one thing. I'm talking about true disaster. Is this going to happen again? This level of football going to happen again in the next couple of years? I mean, getting to 5 or 6 wins next year, quite frankly, is about as best as we can hope for, right?
Well, and that's exactly what I'm saying. I think for the next several years, what you're looking at is we're going to be glad when we become bowl eligible.
Yeah. Bowl eligibility next year is the goal, right? Like, if you can get there, that's a successful season. It's a tough schedule. I think you got to be – but what if – you know, do you think we're going to be 2-10 next year?
I don't see any indication, unless something changes, I don't see any indication that tells me that's not a distinct possibility.
I would say if the staff is exactly the same as next year, I don't know why we would expect significantly different results. Now, they may prove us wrong, right? If the staff stayed
why you,
the
that's
same.
Why you play the games, but...
But I'm with you. I'm with you. So, Matt, Dave Broderick on Facebook has a very, very interesting question that you and I started debating before we started recording. So he asked this: if you had a son who was a 4- or 5-star recruit, NFL bound, would you encourage him to play for BYU as it is presently? Hashtag climb on in. Hashtag the long-term problem. Hashtag even Greg Rebel was down on the offensive system. That's a long hashtag, Dave. Luckily, he did this on Facebook. He would have run out of characters unless he's one of those new 280-character guys, which we're not yet. The podcast isn't. What's up, Twitter? So, Matt, your son's a 4- or 5-star recruit. Are you sending him to BYU? Or is he signing to play with BYU next year?
It's his decision, obviously, but I'm not going to push him to BYU in this situation. He's a 4- or 5-star recruit. It feels like he's going to the, and we feel like he's going to the NFL. I think you got to go where the best opportunity is. And a 4- or 5-star recruit right now is going to have opportunities that present a better situation than this.
Better situation to win football games in college. I totally agree with you. Better situation to get to the NFL. Those are always hard to know, right?
Well, but also it depends on the position too, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have a little bit of a track record for mishandling high caliber quarterbacks. And if he's an offensive player and you can put him in the system, is he going to have the statistics and the game film that's going to, you know, get him the looks that he needs?
That's a legit question.
I don't think that he would.
Now, Dinkelman, isn't that his last name? Huh? Or did I just make that up?
No, Zadik Dinkelman.
Yeah. He tweeted out he's still coming when fans asked him, which, by the way, people stop tweeting at the prospects, please.
Oh my gosh, leave people alone.
But he did tweet out that he's on it. So Johnny Ashton makes a return. He thinks we made an outrageous proclamation. I think it was mine, Matt, not yours, from last podcast that BYU should decrease its strength of schedule. That's not exactly what I said, but we'll get to that in a second. Basically, he's talking about access, that if we decreased our strength of schedule, our access to the New Year's Six Bowl and everything would be a problem. We'd be in a worse position than a G5 school for access. We already are, right? Even with this schedule, we're in a worse access position because it's not guaranteed, right? The top group of 5 school gets in. Right. So, and we're not, even if we had a spectacular one loss season, they don't have to put us in the New Year's Six. So, what I was trying to say, Johnny, last week is I don't know that we can have a gauntlet like that and have a good season like we had this year. And maybe that's an overreaction, and maybe it's irrelevant because this team just wasn't very good, right? But I just think we need to spread those games out. I think playing a bunch of schools that good back to back to back is just a recipe for injuries and problems. And so what I was saying is not necessarily decrease the strength of schedule. We just have to find a way to move some of those games to not have them all together, which I realize Homo's trying to do and may be impossible, which would mean decreasing the strength of schedule. Matt, what do you say? Decrease the strength of schedule, move it around, or leave it as it is?
Well, I think you got to back up and understand kind of what the goal is, right? I'm not convinced that the goal of the administration is to get into the playoff. And that's not it's certainly not the goal of independence. The goal of independence was about access of fans and alumni to see their football team and their other teams play. You know, and give the players access to playing against some of the best competition against the country. If you go back to when independence came out, that's the goal.
Right.
The goal wasn't to get into the at the time the playoff didn't exist, but you understand my point.
Yep.
The goal was never about getting into the system. So if our goal is to get into the system, then independence may not be the right thing to do, right? But I don't know that that's the that's the athletic department's goal. Now, so then the argument is, should that be their goal or not?
Well, I don't know if it should be their goal or not. I don't think it should be their goal just because I don't know that they can control it, right? Like, you go into a group of five conference, okay, which a lot of people are saying independence is broken and whatever else. And we can do a whole nother podcast on that. But to me, the point is if you don't, the group of five do not have good access to it. No group of five team is ever going to be in the college football playoff.
No, it's not going to happen.
Okay. And the New Year's Six, you have to be the top team out of five conferences. So not only do you have to win your conference, which is no given, hey, if we were in the Mountain West this year, we're not winning it. I hope I'm not doing any crashing any dreams there. But you have to win your conference, and you have to be thought of as the best team of those five teams that win their conference. That's a tough deal. Like that, there's not a good chance. There's only a handful of years that BYU in the last 25 years would have been that team. I mean, three seasons, maybe? And none recently. So I when people talk about the access to the New Year's Six, it's like, group of five don't have good access. Right? Am I smoking?
No, the group of five access, the group of five, oh, geez. The group of five.
You were supposed to make the jokes on the pot, not me. I don't.
I have another one. There just hasn't been a good opportunity to use it.
All right.
Now I'm all confused. But the group of five access to the playoffs is virtually non-existent.
Would you say your mind's a little muddled?
You'd have to have two. Now my computer's all freezing up. This is just it's a mess. Everything's blurry. So I think that we just need to, if we just back up and look at this and think about who we are as a program, right? If you want to get to the New Year's Six, okay, yeah, you just laid out what that path looks like, and it's not an easy path. And
no,
it's not
a
guaranteed
path
if we're in one of those conferences.
Nope.
You want to get into the playoff? We have to get into a power conference.
And by the way, also not easy. Ask Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Like, getting into the college football playoff, four teams do it. And right now, Alabama is going to dominate for the foreseeable future one of those slots. So it's really everybody else fighting out for three slots.
And right now, at this point in the season, those other three slots could belong to any of 10 different schools.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I mean, the level at which you'd have to compete to get one of those slots, I hate us. Everybody always trying to compare the two programs between BYU and Utah. But let's go ahead and use that example for a second. Do I think Utah has any greater access to the playoffs than we do? No, they don't, because they're not going to win that conference. Right. They're not going to win that conference anytime soon. They may challenge for a conference championship in the Pac-12 once a decade, right? But they're not going to win that conference.
Yep.
And the Pac-12 isn't sending two teams into a four-team playoff.
Nope.
So their access to that playoff isn't any better than ours. Half of the SEC has worse access to the college football playoff than we do right now. So I think we just you just got to helicopter up and think about the whole picture here. Getting into the playoff is extremely difficult. Now, New Year's Six Bowl, what BYU has to do is get to a New Year's Six Bowl is win games and win games against top competition, period. And I think you can do that in either scenario. You can do that as an independent. Now, if you do that, you've got to spread some of these games out. You're not going to do it playing such a front-heavy, front-loaded schedule like this, right?
Yep.
Or you go into a Group of Five conference, and you run the table, and you do it a couple years in a row, and then maybe you get invited to a New Year's Six Bowl.
But running the table is so freaking hard, even in a Group of Five.
But yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. None of this is easy. It's not as simple as... Oh, the independence is our problem. No, our problem is winning football games.
Yes,
our problem is winning football games. Go win games.
Yes, you win games, you get a shot at doing something special. Just like Utah did back in the day, we did back in the day, Boise State, who am I missing from a couple years ago? You know, some of these other teams that got a chance to go and make some noise. That's you have hit it right on the head, Matt. I don't know if you've said something. It's been 300 episodes. That may be your best statement of 300 episodes.
Oh, I've got more. If we want to talk about power conference expansion and this conversation about, well, you know, these teams won their way into these conferences. No, they didn't. Texas said no.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how Colorado and Utah ended up in there. Vanderbilt's not a power. What is this? Are you kidding me? Have you seen them play?
Yeah.
You know, like half of these teams in these conferences aren't any would be a 500 team in a Group of Five conference.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
all historical, and it all has to do with the top handful of teams in these conferences. Yeah. That's all it is.
And the access, if you look at how many college football playoffs you think Iowa State's going to get to?
None. Iowa. None. And in the foreseeable future, Rutgers. no one in the SEC other than Alabama's going. You know, maybe Georgia this year if you've got a bunch of two-loss teams, maybe. But I'd rather be in our situation than in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, the SEC in the foreseeable future is a tough deal. Well, Matt, we just talked about it. Let's talk about the college football playoff. Finish off with that. Last week you had Alabama, Penn State, TCU, and Miami. I had Alabama, Wisconsin, TCU, and Georgia. So, Matt, obviously Alabama, you probably don't want to move them off your little deal.
You have to be stupid, right?
Penn State, you're not going to move them off your deal.
Nope.
TCU, I assume you're going to keep them on your deal.
I think you got to keep TCU.
Why am I calling it a deal? I don't know. And Miami. So is yours even changing at all, or are you swapping Miami out for somebody else this week?
I've waffled around swapping Miami out for Wisconsin.
As you should.
I'm
sitting in the great state of Wisconsin as we speak.
You know, and I part of me says that because if you look at if you look at what's going on in the ACC, I just don't know that Clemson and Miami are as good compared to these other teams up here in the top 10 as we think they are. I had a lot of faith in Clemson at the beginning of the season. I had some faith in the ACC, but it's starting to dwindle a little bit. So I'm swapping Miami out for Wisconsin. I'm such a Big Ten homer.
Well, not as Big Ten homer as me. You had them outside of it for a while. I am also not changing mine. Bama, Wisconsin, TCU, and Georgia as the first team to make it in to the college football playoff as a second place conference team. But like you said, I don't know that that's likely.
No, so wait a minute. What am I saying? No. I'd have to swap a bunch out. Because do I still have Penn State in mind?
Yeah. So you'd have two Big Ten teams coming in. So you don't want Wisconsin. That's always been your thing, is Penn State. So you're going to keep Miami?
I got to keep Miami.
You got to keep Miami.
I don't think I think what will happen is I don't know that I agree with this, but I think what will happen is Georgia won't get in because the argument will be that they already had their shot.
Yeah, that is the argument, right? Like, you were already in the quarterfinals of this thing and you lost.
Right. Sorry, yeah. I had a little brain fart there.
That's all right. That's all right. Would you say you were never mind. I got to stop making those jokes. What a way to end the show, Matt. 300 episodes. We've got another. It's crazy. The team is bad, and now our shows are getting longer.
You know what? I was shocked that we made it to 3 episodes. You know, now here we are, wrapping up number 300.
Yeah, if you look at that, it's kind of amazing because our first episode, we had 53 listeners, which we were just floored. Do you remember that?
Like, there's got to be people in here we don't know. We don't know that many people between the two of us.
Yeah, not who like us. Not who like us. And then I remember when we had our first big episode as far as, and this was like a year into it, we had Dick Harmon on the podcast, and we had like 500-something downloads. And that's when we kind of thought, we actually have something.
People are going to listen to this?
People are going to listen, and then we started getting reader questions and listener questions, I should say, and other stuff. And a couple years in, it started to hum. And so what's the lesson, Matt? I don't know.
Don't give up on your dreams, kids.
Don't give up on your dreams.
Stay in school.
You too can spend hours every week doing a podcast for free or close thereunto. Don't give up.
Just for the love of the pods.
Just for the love of a football team. That's not very good now. So
it's all right. Still love them. Still love them.
We're still BYU fans. I'm wearing a BYU shirt as we record this.
It's just a tough time right now.
I just have it covered up by something else, though. It's cold in the hotel room. It's a sweatshirt.
I still drive around Baton Rouge with a BYU magnet on the back of my car.
Matt, thanks for being here. Thanks for talking about this, which wasn't the most pleasant thing to talk about.
Not the least pleasant, but it was up there.
It was up there. It was up there. Well, we will be back next week for our 301st episode. No halftime show against San Jose State. We're going to take at least a week off. Matt, a couple of weeks off because, you know, he's got...
I wonder if the halftime show was the bad luck charm. Let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. That's true. We've had a halftime show every week, haven't we?
I think we have.
I think we have. So, maybe that's... And if it doesn't, does that mean we can't do any more halftime shows?
I think we let the listeners decide. I imagine people are still going to want to do the halftime show. It's pretty fun.
It is pretty fun, especially when we both can do it. It was a little drier with me by myself this time, but
not a
shock.
What
are you going to do? All right. Well, thanks everybody for your questions. Sorry if we didn't get to some of them. We'll get to some of these topics next week, and hopefully we'll be talking about a BYU victory because I still love the Cougars, but Matt hates them, so he predicted that they'll lose. But I still have faith, Matt. I still have faith, and I'm not going to quote any more scripture, I promise.
Nope. Don't do that.
No more quoting scripture.
That was weird.
That was weird. Well, Sweeney did it. I didn't do it.
Sweeney and Bronco Mendenhall.
Sweeney and Bronco.
Mixing football and scriptures.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars.